אתם עם SBS בעברית.
I'm joined now by Dr. Ran Porat, Research Associate in the Australian-Israeli Jewish Affairs Council and also a lecturer on Israel and the Middle East at Melbourne Monash University. Hi, Ran.
Hi, Amit.
We speak from time to time about Israel and in particular about the Israeli immigrants who arrived to Australia. But to begin with, when looking back at 2023, what is your thoughts on such a horrific year?
The most positive thing I think about when I think about Israel in 2023 is that it ended. 2023 was a very challenging year. We thought after the corona, maybe we're out of the woods. It turns out that the woods are darker and the trees are taller. And 2023 was really a challenging year, and we hopefully look into a better future in 2024.
You know, some would say it was probably the worst year in Israeli history. Would you agree with that?
As a historian, I have to tell you, I don't like these points. You know, there's a league, worst, the best. It was definitely a challenging one, and sometimes out of the ashes, that's when the positive change emerges. So yes, it was very challenging, undoubtedly, specifically after the positive years of post-Oslo.
On 2nd of January 2024, Israel's Supreme Court published a dramatic decision in a case that just a few months ago was accompanied by a wave of unrest and tensions within the country. However, the attack by Hamas on Israeli cities, towns and bases near Gaza on 7th of October last year situated the ruling in a different place in Israel's history and gave it a new meaning outside the legal arena. So Ran, maybe to begin with, give us a little background on what has been happening since last year with the judicial reform in Israel.
Let's do it really quickly. Since the beginning of 2023, the new right-wing government under Netanyahu was trying to push for judicial reform, which basically wanted to limit the authority of the Supreme Court and the courts in general to oversee government action, sort of giving them a carte blanche and open ticket to do whatever they want. The main pillar of that, one of the main pillars of that reform, was a law passed in the parliament, the Knesset, in July 2023 that reduced, limited almost annulled the reasonableness clause, which is a kind of legal justification the Supreme Court can use in order to oversee or disqualify a government action, saying this action is unreasonable. So the government did not like it and tried to limit it or cancel it. And what happened immediately after, there were petitions to the Supreme Court to make a decision. There was a dramatic hearing, and the result of that hearing, the ruling was published on January 2nd, and it can be divided into two parts. So 12 out of 15 Supreme Court judges sitting in this case, which are all the judges of the Supreme Court, ruled that the Supreme Court has the authority to overrule, oversight, review a basic law, and that law that was passed in July was defined as such. So basic law was supposed to have like a special status, immune possibly from the judicial review. In this case, the Supreme Court said, no, there is no such, we can still oversee and check if such a law is correct or is constitutional, etc. Mm-hmm. The second part of the ruling was 8 out of the 15 judges said specific law that was passed in July to limit us our use of reasonableness clause is invalid. So it's canceled. It's disqualified. They struck down the law. So that's a dramatic, very dramatic ruling. And it means the end, the legal end, and most likely the political end of the judicial reform that was tearing Israeli public apart since the beginning of 2023.
So on that day, January 2nd, 2024, we can officially say that the judicial reform that started almost a year ago is pretty much over, correct?
It backfired. That the attempt by the Justice Minister, Yariv Levin, actually backfired spectacularly, because instead of limiting the power of the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court came on top and extended their authority to oversee government action, not only based on the Reasonableness Act, but also look into to basic laws, which were allegedly protected from that sort of scrutiny. So yeah, it backfired dramatically. It means most likely the legal end and the public end of that judicial reform that was so controversial inside Israel.
A lot of people would also come and say, look, there is currently a war between Israel and Hamas. There are many other reasons to delay or postpone judicial reform. But really, do you think that the timing was correct? Is it a coincidence or did the current war had an impact on this decision?
I don't think the October 7 influenced the decision. I do think that Esther Hart said before, even way before October 7, that they object, that she objects that law that was passed in July. But October 7 dramatically changed the meaning of it. Not only did it put an end to the judicial review, it also enhanced the status of the Supreme Court as a justifiable, as a strong bastion of human rights and civil rights in Israel. And that kind of system provides Israel with a shield against, let's say, international courts trying to prosecute former IDF soldiers or commanders, because the belief that the Israeli judicial system is strong and independent gives it more merit, more power to protect these soldiers if they go abroad and are facing some sort of judicial problem.
Israel saw many weekly demonstrations, lots of people who came to the streets with the rallies, and not only in Israel, but all around the world. Most of them were, of course, against the judicial reform. All of that suddenly stopped after October 7th. Do you think we will see more rallies for the judicial reform, especially now after it's over?
What I see is, if you look at the demonstrations even before October 7th, They were not even in numbers. So it's not that the camp that supported reform was small, but it was significantly smaller than the camp against the reform. And moreover, all polls from Israel strongly suggest that the reform has lost even the people that were in this undecided, or even the what we call the soft right. So there's no support, even if there are the demonstrations. I don't know if this government will even be in place in a year's time. So I think, as I said, publicly, politically, the reform is as good as dead. It's dead in the water.
Currently, there is a court hearing in Hague where Israel is being blamed for genocidal acts. Ironically, Israel has chosen to send its former Supreme Court Chief Justice Aharon Barak, and he will represent Israel as the judge at the International Court of Justice. What do you think?
So Aharon Barak was the father of the original reform from the 90s that extended the powers of the Supreme Court to, he said, everything is could be judged. The Kol Shafit, everything should be judged. There's no issue that the Supreme Court cannot look into. So sending Aharon Barak to Hague as a judge on Israel's behalf in that case where South Africa and other states blame Israel of genocide, of course, it's a complete lie. But sending him is poetic justice, historical justice. Not only was he his personality, he received so much vitriol and hate and personal attacks from the anti-reform, the pro-reform camp, but also they doubted his patriotism. And there's no doubt of his patriotism now, because as soon as he was called for that important mission, he stood firm, and he's 87-year-old Holocaust survivor, and who would be better than that prestigious, very honored and respected Supreme Court judge to protect Israel in the ICJ.
Okay, Dr. Ron Porat, last question. So we've seen what's been happening in 2023. Your opinion on what's expected in 2024?
Three points about 2024. Three major processes and events that we should look at. One is, of course, the elections in the U.S., will we have another Biden administration, a new Trump administration, or maybe something else? It's going to have dramatic impact on the situation in the Middle East and in the world in general. Second point is what will transpire in Gaza, because currently there is no sort of viable plan for the day after the war, and the war will continue, of course, in different intensity, but will continue. And third of all is the sort of a gigantic seismic change in the geopolitical map of the Middle East, based on what will happen, let's say, between Israel and Hezbollah, if there's going to be a normalization between Israel and the Saudis, And if Iran breaks into the nuclear weapon, as they are on the cusp of that, and there's lots of changes and big questions that may receive an answer this year. So 2024 is going to be a big year of changes and shifts in the Middle East.
Dr. Ran Porat, research associated in the Australian-Israeli Jewish Affairs Council and also a lecturer on Israel and the Middle East at Melbourne Monash University. Thank you so much for your time today, and I wish you all the best in 2024. I have a feeling we will speak again soon. Thank you, Ran.
I wish all the listeners just health and happiness.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.